Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. The Rick Emerson Show coming up in a few minutes. CNN Radio's Jim Roop talked to us about the American Music Awards last night, which no one watched. No one. Anywhere. Let's see. We got this subject line, new invention. Rick, I've heard you can actually buy a thermos and bring your own coffee to work. What will they think of next? Everybody's so caustic. Everybody's so hostile. Subject line, printers. Rick, tell Matt to quit dissing laser printers. Doesn't he know how his silver spoon was paid for? F Matt with a refilled printer cartridge.
This F Matt is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
Sure the hell wasn't by refilled printer cartridges. The printers are cheap, man. It's like razors. They give the printers away, they charge you for the ink. I know where my silver spoon came from.
Now we got this from Tony at the house of Rick East. Rick, I'm listening with an old friend, and his first reaction was, damn, this dude is cranky. He should just lay off the coffee altogether. His name is Don. Feel free to scathe at will.
It's Tony there at the house of Rick East.
Yeah, Don should know that's a bad idea, because when Rick has no coffee, he's not only cranky like this, he's also, like, belligerently mean.
I'm not belligerently mean. I just, I have a
when
little,
you when you have no coffee, you get mean.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. It's like most people on tequila.
So me with no coffee is like people with lots of tequila.
All right. Very, very good correlation.
All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Later on this hour, we got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Oh, don't forget, by the way, talking about that, coming up on Thursday, we're going to have the listeners talk back to Jolie. That's going to be this Thursday, and I think like 2 o'clock probably going to do it. So if you are if you're one of those people that's been, I don't know, storing up your disdain for Jolie's advice, this Thursday, we'll do a special segment where you're allowed to call up and take her to task on that. So that's coming up this Thursday. The listeners talk back to Jolie. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. In Portland, it is Aaron. You're on Hot Talk, Connecticut. What's up?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What do you got?
Just wanted to post a little correction here for you. It was not Dwayne Allman in Rush. It was Greg Allman. Dwayne Allman was long since dead by the time that movie came out.
Oh, is Dwayne Allman the guy that got snuffed on the motorcycle?
I think he died in a true to pure Southern rock form. I think he died in a plane.
It's all very confusing.
It is confusing.
Leonard Skinner and Sam Cooke and the Allman Brothers, they all get confused in my brain. All right, it was Greg Allman.
Yeah.
Greg Allman's the guy that had sex with Cher when she was 16. Seriously. It's true, man. So I mean, that's how you can tell those Allman Brothers apart. One guy's dead, one guy banged Cher at 16. It is through such distinctions that the world of rock and roll becomes more easily quantifiable. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-737-5955. CNN Radio's Jim Roop in just a moment. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Hey, it's 1:05. I'm Tim Riley. This news is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Help keep your nest egg from breaking. Call a local State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company agent today for cost and complete details of long-term care insurance. Top story, somebody stole my orange.
What's got you? Well, where was it?
I left it right here for my snack today. It is missing.
Have you retraced your steps? Well, you left it in the... Well, hello, you left it in the newsroom.
I can't leave an orange here and come back and find it the next day?
Not in a public space. Can we all just agree with me on this, that you can't leave an orange in a public space? You can't leave food in a public space at a radio station and reasonably expect it to be there the next day. Now, I'm not advocating theft, and I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying it's like leaving your keys in your car, you know, like in somewhere bad, you know, like in... I don't know, like in St. John, like you wouldn't leave your car running out in front of your house.
You know, it is a little bit funny about that, though.
What's that?
The box of Krispy Kremes got left in the control room.
And they're still there?
There's still Krispy Kremes left, but Tim's orange is gone.
That's because they're cold.
I thought amid all this rubbish, nobody would even notice it.
I blame Dave Paul.
Blame Dave.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to wait till Matt goes to Florida again to get another orange.
Yeah, well, you can't leave anything. Look, anything that you don't want stolen, you can't let it sit around a radio station. Because anything that's not nailed down eventually walks off with somebody.
I got a better idea, Tim. I'll go to Hawaii and bring you back pineapple.
Wow. That would be stupendous.
Oh, and Bruce wanted me to ream on you about Florida oranges and to say that I forget why. But he was like, yesterday we were talking after the show, and he's like, remind me to yell at Matt about what he said about Florida oranges. Don't ask me to explain that. I don't understand what he was talking about, but it was something about Florida oranges he wanted to ream on you for.
What? Are you saying that talking about what Richard said about them being bigger and juicier
maybe,
and heavier?
Maybe it was Richard. I don't know.
Because I didn't really say anything about them other than, Tim, here's an orange from Florida.
I don't know. I don't have an idea.
But anyway, okay.
A couple of things happening today. A single-engine Cessna from Portland flying from Tacoma to SeaTac lost engine power and went down on the city street in Gig Harbor. And a woman who was driving a car had a propeller slice right through it. Luckily, she wasn't injured, but it was a Lexus. That's got a big propeller hole in it, but she's okay. This whole thing would have been worse if there were children at a nearby school, but the teachers were away at a conference today.
Man, wasn't that the happiest day of your life when they had a teacher workshop?
Yeah.
When
it's
look
not
at
a teacher workshop.
Calendar?
Do you know where all the teachers are in Washington today?
No.
They went to Olympia to bitch at the governor for cutting the budget and cutting their pay.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was, well, never mind.
It's not really a workshop. They're arguing that they want more money.
Well, I'm just saying, that was a great day when you were in school and the teachers were off doing something. You know, when the teachers had some... And what is a teacher workshop anyway? What the hell does that even mean? You know, because it would be on the calendar. Be like, you know, Martin Luther King Day, Columbus Day, teacher workshop day.
Or school in-service day.
Yeah, and it's like nobody even... I don't even know what it meant. All I knew is that I got to stay home and watch The Price is Right.
Well, it's like, here are the latest in 2H pencils and erasers. Did you hear about this battalion of Marines?
No.
Well, the thing is... If you enlist in any of the services, chances are someday you could go to war. And that's what's happening this time. A battalion of Marine reservists from Portland has been called to active duty as the military prepares for a possible war against Iraq because they won't turn over weapons they don't have. There are 230 of them from the Swan Island-based 6th Engineer Support Battalion. They will report to the Navy Marine Corps Reserve Center during the next few weeks for paperwork. Then they'll be shipped to Camp Pendleton. That's in California.
Well, you say that Charles Rangel is trying to... Charles Rangel put forward that whole proposal that they bring back the draft, because which is not as insane as it sounds on the surface of it, because his whole logic was that if we bring back the draft and if everybody knows, like if the guys in Congress know that all their kids are going to get drafted and go off, that they're going to be less likely to just jump the gun and go over and start blasting away at Iraq for no reason. Because the whole thing with Iraq and North Korea, it's totally misdirection. It's totally when the magician waggles a hand over here so you don't see him putting the bunny in the hat. That's what it is. They don't want us to pay attention to the fact that North Korea is slowly going insane on us.
Anyway, Jack Nicholson, speaking of insanity, shines as a bitterly upset aging man who is unhappy with his daughter's choice of a husband and about Schmidt. He tells us how he creates a character so people forget it's him on the screen.
Well, that's always the hard job for an actor. You know, anybody can act once or twice. They don't know who you are. But when you have to do unconvince them of who you are, like and about Schmidt, as Alex has said, I've listened to his interviews also. He asked me to play a small man. So, you know, Every job is different. Every character is different. That's what makes it interesting, you know. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep doing it. You'd be doing the same thing over and over again. No one really knows the real Jack anyway.
That's great. Could you be any cooler than Jack Nicholson?
You can't be.
Is there any possible way that you can be hipper than that guy? No, it can't happen.
Tell us about what it's like to be aging on screen, Jack.
You know, if you just get rid of your camera tricks, what angles they shoot you from, all of that, it in the end creates an overall impression of aging in different ways. And this is the least vain performance I think I've ever given, you know. No shadow under the chin, you know, this kind of thing, you know. But I think you find the mind of a character. Myself, I'm always after that, and really to do the movie that the director wants to do. Otherwise, it's not amusing.
You know, the thing is, you want to hate Jack Nicholson, but you just can't. You know what I mean? Like, you want to dislike him for so many reasons, because he just coasted for so long, and he's on his big, larger-than-life persona, and he turned in one bad movie after another, and he made that hideous, as-good-as-it-gets movie with Helen Hunt. I mean, there's so many things you can hold against him, but then he opens his mouth and he talks, and you're like... Oh, okay, I can't hate you. You know, it's like Al Pacino, or Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro is another good example. You just want to despise him because of the direction his career's taken lately. But then he talks, and he's Robert De Niro. What are you going to do? This is nothing.
It'll be cloudy for several days. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-737-5955. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Our man in Los Angeles, our very own larger-than-life, Jim Roop from CNN Radio. What's up?
Hey, I just want to do the kind of work my producer wants me to do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
There's a lot of parallels between you and Jack.
So
yeah,
and you know the thing
he's on TV, and I have one.
Sure, and you see Jack Nicholson sometimes, and it's like the guy. I don't know. Rarely can a guy look so cool and so damn old at the same time, because he looks like he's about 150. His face looks like, you know, like he had a skin graft from Jack Palance. you know, but then he talks, and it's like he's Jack Nicholson. What are you going to do? He's
just, you know, what makes him cool ever. Is it seems like he doesn't care what he looks like, and that's I like that.
No, and that's the great thing about Jack Nicholson is that guy does not give one ass of a rat. What you think about him, what I think about him, doesn't matter. It's like, I'm Jack Nicholson.
He's just cool.
That's exactly what it is. So you were at the AMAs last night. Have I noted, by the way, that they were the lowest rated AMAs in the history of television?
Was that way.
What's that?
I noticed it was that way.
Yeah, it was nothing. Dick Clark's got to hang it up, man. He got routed by Joe Millionaire.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, man. Did you watch that? Was that any good?
I did. You're not watching Joe Millionaire?
No.
Dude, you're missing out.
Hey.
You're missing out on American culture. You got to be watching that.
No, I don't like to watch anybody looks better than I do.
Like, if I didn't want to watch anybody who's better than I do, I'd never turn on the TV.
That's why I keep my eyes closed all day long.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be able to listen to the radio, you know, if that was the criteria. You gotta watch Joe Millionaire, because it's the first reality TV show that has equal appeal, because most reality TV shows appeal to women. Because like Survivor, you know, they like to claim that it's about snakes and scorpions and building a fire with Flint, but it's not. It's really about double crossing and backstabbing. You know, it's about female things.
Yeah, sure.
But Joe Millionaire appeals to guys. It's the first reality show that really gets a guy audience, because the great thing about it is you get to, I mean, and this sounds so horrible, this makes me sound like an awful human being, but I think Sarah will back me up on this, because my girlfriend felt this way too. I think the great thing about Joe Millionaire is, because all of these women are just falling all over themselves for the chance, not even the guarantee, for the chance to be with this guy who they think is worth $50 million. And so he has them doing all these chores every episode, like shoveling coal into a train so they can take a trip somewhere. And then later, last night, they're having to shovel horse manure out of a stable. And it's like these women who, you know, have never had to do anything in their lives, these women who have never had to lift a finger because they're hot looking, and suddenly there's a guy ordering them around and making them shovel manure.
I like that.
And it's just deeply gratifying on some perverse, awful level.
So many levels.
And it just, I know that I'm a bad person for liking it.
Well, I'm just the perverse guy to enjoy something like
Seriously.
That.
Seriously. Joe Millionaire, it's like, we're all part of the sin. You know what I mean? We're all complicitous. That's the awful and great thing about it is we are all, it's like Murder on the Orient Express, you know? Murder on the Orient Express. We've all done it. We're all guilty.
Huh?
But you're not watching it, so I can't even share any of my witty observations.
Well,
with you.
I promise I will view it.
No,
they say in Hollywood.
So did anything good happen at the AMA?
Yeah, the Osbournes.
I didn't even watch it. Were they hilarious?
Oh man, you know, the Osbournes gave the censors a definite workout, and I can only imagine that with what I heard on stage. On TV, there must have been so much bleeping, it had to be hard to understand what was attempted to being said. It was just a mess. I mean, 2 seconds into the opening, and Sharon Osbourne lets out with the first F word. It was just, and it went downhill from there. It was beautiful.
Man, do you love her or what?
Yeah, she's great.
She is. Now, was it all four of the Osbournes?
Yeah, well, the rarely seen daughter, was slated to be a presenter. She didn't show. But, yeah, Kelly, Jack, Ozzy, and Sharon were all there.
Man, is Jack Osbourne just a little pig of a human being or what? I mean, both attitudinally and physically. Look at him. If he had a corkscrew tail and a name tag saying Babe, I mean, it wouldn't seem out of place.
Yeah, you can call him Porgy and get away with it. That's for darn sure.
And you know that guy gets women. That's the real unfair misery of the whole thing. You know, Jack Osbourne gets hotter chicks than I've ever seen in my life. It's unfair. So.
Well, I thought it was a good show. I really did, man. I had fun watching it.
All right. Were there any good performances last night?
No, there were no good performances. There were lots of splash and flash, but there were no good performances. None. I mean, there's a whole lot of running around and crap going off and, you know, and loud junk happening, but there was no performance. You know, there was no... I mean, some of the country performing was okay because there was a song involved in that.
Yeah.
But it was terrible. That part was just nasty. But the rest of it was just fun because people were just having a good time. It was just a party. That's all it was, and I enjoyed being there.
You know what I'm not clear on is the American Music Awards. Okay, so the Grammys are put on by the National Level of Recording Arts.
The Recording Academy.
But who puts on the American Music Awards?
Dick Clark Productions.
But I mean, so it's a completely fabricated and made up award
show. Yeah, it's another popularity poll is what it is with the American people. So again, it should not surprise anyone that Eminem wins because he's selling the most records right now. It shouldn't surprise anybody that Shania Twain is the best, is is winning, or the Dixie Chicks is winning, or Nelly is winning. I mean, or Ashanti picks up a couple of awards, because those are the folks who are selling right now. I guess the big surprise was Sheryl Crow. You know, she won Best Female Artist. But then again, she's up against Celine Dion and Pink, for heaven's sake.
Oh, God. So did you get to interview any of these people or see them in the press room afterwards?
Yeah.
Because I'm always curious. We have this long-running discussion about Sheryl Crow on the show because we love her. Because I get the feeling that Sheryl Crow, you have a better than even chance of running into her drunk at a bar some night, and she would probably go home with you. Just because she doesn't seem all that particular. Sheryl Crow seems like... Sheryl Crow seems like she's going to be half in the bag and pretty loose most of the time. But we have this whole discussion about whether she's actually good-looking or not.
Yes, she is.
So in person, Sheryl Crow is attractive.
In person, she's better-looking than in her videos.
Really? Because in the videos, I got the feeling there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of gray lensing and makeup going on in the videos.
Well, she has a rough look to her, you know. She's a drinker, probably.
Yeah.
You know, she parties pretty hard, I'm sure. But there's something about, there's a soft edge to her look. And she's really pretty. She's got great eyes and a beautiful smile. I mean, geez, you can't help but look at her, you know. She looks better in person. Plus, she's not that tall. I like that.
Yeah.
Jim, does your wife know of your, like, underlying love for Sheryl Crow?
And for midgets, apparently.
Yeah. Well, you know, my wife's 5'2". What can I tell you?
I was going to say, I got a cousin who was, you know, born wrong, kind of stumpy. I could hook you up with her.
Well, I'm 4'11".
It's just, but you make up for it.
No, I'm not.
You make up for it with your girth.
Yeah. I'm all heart and a yard wide.
Sheryl Crow totally has that hooker with a heart of gold vibe, though. That's totally the persona that she has, that she's kind of rough and haggard, but with a soft, creamy center.
Yeah, but shut up already about your political views. That's what I'm saying. I mean, enough of that. Yeah, that's why I like Elvis. You know, somebody in the 70s asked Elvis about the Vietnam War, and he said, you know, I'm just an entertainer. I'd rather keep my views to myself. And why can't everybody follow that line?
Hey, speaking of which, has Sean Penn been on Larry King? Did that already happen? Did I miss Sean Penn on Larry King? Anyway?
No, I don't think so.
You work at CNN.
Yeah, I have to work on the radio side, man. I have a box where I have a computer.
Do you even ever get to meet anybody who actually works at CNN? Do you ever?
I run into Larry King all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
In the elevator, coming out. Hey, how you doing? I'm pretty good, Larry. Thank you. He doesn't know who I am.
Does he always totter around like he's in the brink of death?
He's always carrying his... No. He actually walks pretty tall, like he's not, he looks like he's teetering on death, but he's not. And he's always has his coat and his jacket. I've never seen that coat on him. He always carries it.
Does he have it slung over his shoulder like he's standing?
No, he carries it out. You know, he doesn't sling it over his shoulder. He just holds it in his right hand, and he walks around with it.
Because it's like he does those Ginsana commercials, and he's talking about it gives him more energy, and he always sounds like he's about to turn to dust. You know what I mean? Ginsana has helped me to revitalize and invigorate, you know.
He's got a pretty odd look, too, I guess, from leaning on that table for so many years. His shoulders are actually up by his ears.
Seriously, he's got a... Larry King, much as I respect him, he's a weird-looking guy. He looks like a Bavarian snapping turtle. He's got this...
He's a red-eared slider.
Is there really any such thing as a Bavarian snapping turtle?
Yeah, apparently there is. If Rick says there is, there is,
Matt. I'm telling you, it's just strange. All right. I had some other crap to talk about. I don't even know what it was anyway. I care so little about the American Music Awards at this point. It's just.
Well, I got Golden Globes coming up, Super Bowl coming up. Robert Blake's going to be in court tomorrow. It's going to be a big day.
Oh, so I imagine we'll be talking to you tomorrow about the. How long has Blake been in jail? Aren't the wheels of American justice supposed to grind quickly?
They are, unless the defense wants them to slow down.
Great.
So I mean, the defense really rules the court system.
All right, so we'll be talking about that tomorrow. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roof. There you go, man. All right. It's 503. And Kelly Osbourne's lost weight, by the way. I mean, she's not skinny, but Kelly Osbourne's dropped a lot of weight. You know, there's somebody at the recording studio jacking her full of something, you know, because she's on the road for that album.
Maybe her and Missy are dieting together.
Yeah. They both lost in Leah. Kelly's only lost Emmanuel Lewis at this point. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. More on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KPK. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
3250 in Portland, 1-800-737-5955. We have the top five coming up in a few, plus Jolie from the front desk, but now Chip Stink later on. News at Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Don't forget The Shield tonight with Michael Chiklis. Every time I talk about it, I want to call him Michael Chehalis, just because it's funnier. Anyway, Matt and I have been talking about this. People think we're on FX's payroll or something. Because we talk about this all the time. I mean, I guess they did sponsor some traffic, but we talk about The Shield just because you got to see it, man.
The next traffic is, in fact, sponsored by FX.
Seriously. And I've had a few people email me that it's like they started watching The Shield at our urging. And once you get into that show, I mean, all the other cop shows become irrelevant. You know, I'm a huge fan of Homicide, Life on the Street, you know, and all the way back to, like, Hill Street Blues and all that stuff. Once you watch The Shield, though, you're never going to be able to watch NYPD Blue again. The Shield instantly makes all other currently airing cop shows completely irrelevant. And not just because of the language and the violence, it's just that it's just so... I mean, it's all those cliches that people use over and over again. It's edgy, it's raw, it's brutal, it's in your face. All of those things that have been said so often they don't mean anything anymore, The Shield is all of those.
Well, it's so in your face, you almost, like, don't want to watch, but right. You can't pull yourself away from the TV.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's absolutely, I mean, it's just, it's brutal. The Shield is like one, it's like one big, raw, pulsing nerve ending. You know what I mean? So, anyway. Subject line, Saturday show, it's at Theracon. Rick, love the show. I haven't been to a tiny punk show in years. Fun stuff. I was there with my wife, and I had to twist her arm to go. The night started off bad. We left early to make sure we would find it. We got stuck sitting outside until the bar opened. Then the big finish, the list you and Clyde read. I didn't hear it because halfway through, Clyde threw hot dogs into the audience and hit my wife in the face.
Dude, she must have been standing right next to me because moved and that hot dog went buzzing past me and hit the lady right behind me.
There was this moment during the show and Clyde and I were doing one of our wacky comedic bits and it ended with Clyde throwing pork into the audience and apparently hit Tim's wife in the face. Well, that pretty much ended the fun and we left shortly thereafter. My wife hates you now. I thought it was funny as hell. Jesus Christ, man, hit with a hot dog at a punk show. Where those things pickled, they stink. Hope you do it again soon. All right. Well, there you go.
There's Tim. Well, sorry about hitting your wife in the face with a...
Hot dog. We're going to roll the top five here in a moment, plus Jolie for the front desk. Before we do that, I want to get to this. This is the top five we've been teasing for the longest time, and we're just going to roll this as an unofficial top five. This is from David. He emailed us a while back the top five funniest diseases of all time. We were never able to get to it, so I'm going to run these down for you quickly. Number five, scurvy. Can we all agree that scurvy is a funny disease, man?
How about rickets?
Rickets are funny, sure. Rickets, also shingles. I don't know the difference between rickets and shingles. I don't really care because I don't have either of them as far as I know. It doesn't really matter. Rickets, shingles, funny. You know what else is funny? Scabies. Not technically a disease. I think it's actually some sort of a parasitic infestation. But scabies is funny. My friend Brain had scabies one time and used to bitch about it all the time. Oh, I got scabies. And I just used to laugh. Plus, I think the drummer from The Damned, his name is Rat Scabies. And so, I mean, it's just, anyway. Number five, scurvy. Number four, beriberi. I don't even know what that is. Number three, pellagra. Yeah, that's funny. Number two, Tourette's. And, of course, number one, leprosy. Yeah, so rickets, scabies, shingles, and, spina bifida. Spina bifida is funny as well. Here's your top five for Tuesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Hey, what is it we were saying kids would love because it was white bread?
Iron kids bread.
I don't understand what that is.
I don't know. It's the coffee I had to read.
So it's a type. It's actually bread.
It's crustless bread.
Crustless bread.
Yeah.
But kind of like Wonder kid. Bread. It's Iron's Kids bread.
So it's Wonder Bread without
or
the crust.
Iron's Kids bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds healthy.
I guess so.
Okay.
Here's the demographic.
Tim Riley with your top five.
And these are the top five songs in the country as of today, January 14, 2003. Number five, Jay-Z featuring Bianchi Knowles,
This is 03 Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay.
Peaking already, I see.
See, the thing about this song is I kind of like it, but I feel bad for liking it because it has Beyonce Knowles, who I sort of have a lot of personality invested in hating. I just feel like I've invested so much in despising all the women in Destiny's Child.
Why?
Because, I mean, have you ever seen an interview with Beyonce? No, she's obviously such a bitch. I mean, she's... And you know the whole deal with that group? They fired everybody in the group but her like 7 different times. Her and her dictatorial dad, who's just like this Lou Pearlman figure.
No, I mean, it's always been Beyonce and Kelly. And they've rotated
has
the
Kelly
third.
Kelly Rowland always been in the group? Because I thought Beyonce was the only constant.
No, I don't think so. I think Beyonce and Kelly have always been together and they've cycled in the third.
I mean, yeah, the rest of the group is like Menudo. It's like you're there for 6 weeks and then you're down the road. So I don't know. And plus, if I was ever going to like Destiny's Child, it had to end when they did that hideous Bootylicious song. Who would ever think to have a song called Bootylicious and then not only to sample Stevie Nicks for it, but then to have Stevie Nicks appear in the video, which she did willingly. That's what I don't get. I'm trying to picture that conversation. Yo, Stevie, we've sampled Edge of 17, one of the all-time great classic rock songs, for a song about asses. Would you like to be in the video?
Well, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then Stevie Nicks, okay, I'm here. Let's make the video. Anyway, so I
feel like I've just got all this emotional investment in disliking Beyonce Knowles, and so I feel kind of conflicted that I actually like this song. The funny thing about this song is that me or a friend of mine got this song like a month and a half before the album was even released.
Number four is BK2 and P. Diddy, Bump Bump Bump.
All the ladies all over the world. All my sexy moms.
Is that the actual title, or were you just...
That's what
it's called, yeah.
To give you what you need. You know I like it when your body go bump, bump.
Special at Burger King.
B2K.
I like one of your B2Ks and Biggie Fries. And a Frosty.
Baby, show me.
Come on, baby,
turn around and see that sexy body go bump, bump, bump. The way you know it, body go bump, bump, bump.
Okay, there's nothing good about this.
Number four in the country right now.
Seriously, shouldn't the name P. Diddy just scare people off by now and let you know not to listen to the song? And you gotta wonder if there are people who actually call him that. Do his friends have to update their phones and their Rolodex every 5 or 6 months whenever he changes his name? Do you picture actually people sitting down like Mace is sitting down going, Puff Daddy, like scratching it out? P. Diddy. You know what I mean? It's like having a hyphenated last name.
Have you seen any of this new Making the Band thing?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Making the Band 2 has got him making a group.
Well,
he's rarely in it. I've seen a few of the episodes, but every time he comes in, all of the people there from Bad Boy call him, you know, P. Diddy.
Oh, great.
Call him Diddy.
It's like a memo comes out from the office every week. His name is now, you know, Hank, you know, or whatever.
Number three is Nelly featuring Cajun Alley, Murphy Lee, and Air Force Ones.
I don't even know if that... See, that's how out of touch I am. I don't even know if that was correct or not.
Not even close.
Okay.
You got Nelly right.
At least they got her right. This is kind of a cool song. It's too slow, though. At some point, all rap became like 45 beats a minute. I don't know why that is. I mean, it really took Eminem to kind of bring back the faster-paced rap. It was because Dre just totally killed all that off, where everything was like 120 beats a minute all through the late 80s and the early 90s, and then the Chronic just destroyed that. So we're still stuck in that West Coast rolling mode, and this guy's from St. Louis. There's some scratching. Let's talk about DJs for a second. On New Year's Eve, my boring ass was sitting on the couch flipping back and forth between Dick Clark, New Year's Rockin' Eve, and then the Carson Daly dressed up in his pajamas special. And if you notice this, when you watch hip-hop performances now, every single hip-hop performance has the DJ back there with the turn turntables that he never touches or does anything with. In fact, on MTV, it was worse. There was somebody at the performing. It was Busta Rhymes and somebody or other. They were out there for that Break Your Neck song or whatever it is. They were out there performing, and the DJ is back there, and he's in front of the Wheels of Steel. And the camera, and I'm like, is he, and my friend Ryan was there, who actually is a DJ part-time. And we were going, is he actually doing anything with the vinyl? And the camera pans around at one point, and we noticed that not only was the DJ not actually scratching, there was no vinyl on the turntables. The turntables were, in fact, empty. There was nothing on them. And so the DJ's whole job is to stand there with his bling and just exhort the crowd to shake the ass or whatever.
Speaking of dead people, that DJ rap Jam Master Jay, he has a brand new commercial out, even though he's dead, for Dr. Pepper. We're going to be playing it in a few minutes.
Okay.
Number two is Missy Elliott, and let's work it.
More importantly, though, about DJs, you know the DJ Drama, the guy that did the listener party for us? He's got a big 70s party coming up out at the Refectory in February that you should go to. You've been invited. I was told to tell you that.
All right.
Dancing, you know, put on like the Afro wig and the chains and platforms.
Yeah, that sounds like something I'd fit right in at.
I think it'd go over well.
Because when you think party, you think Rick Emerson. Because I'm...
Never mind. Don't come.
I'll throw it down.
I'll take him a shirt or something.
Yeah. The song creeps me out. And this video creeps me out, too, because it's got all that weird fisheye lens action where her face is all freaky and distorted. It disturbs me. And is this song backward? Is the hook backward just as like a novelty, or is it because is it profanity? You know what I mean?
Maybe they were scratching it the wrong way.
Like I obviously don't own the album to this, so I don't know if this song is backward just because it's different, or it's because they're trying to edit the song somehow. Okay, I don't know.
Enough of that. Number one is Eminem and Lose Yourself.
Somebody can remember a time when this wasn't number one. I can't even remember what was number one before this. I mean, it's been so long, around like 3 months now this has been number one.
Right.
We got more coming up, including Jolie from the front desk. Later on, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Tom Likas at 3, the world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Today. Stay there. Those escaping
through this hole that is taping. This world is mine for the taking. Make me king as we move toward a new world order. A normal life is boring. The superstardom close to postmortem. It only grows harder. Homie grows hotter. He blows, it's all over. He holds, it's all on him. Coast to coast knows he's known as the Globetrotter. Lonely Rose God only knows his grown father. From home he's no father. He goes home and barely knows his own daughter. But hold your nose, cause here goes the cold water. These hoes don't want him no more. He's cold product. They moved on to the next move. Who flows, he knows, don't, and so not a soul. The soul proper is cold. It unfolds, I suppose it's old partner. But
live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Listen to this shoe, Adventures in Babysitting, 1990?
I watched that last night.
It wasn't the 80s, it was only 1990, wasn't it? It came out when I was in high school, I think, yeah. Before she did Leaving Las Vegas. Where did she go? She just kind of vanished. What the hell? Whatever happened to Elizabeth Shue? Whatever happened to Elizabeth Shue?
She was in Karate Kid.
Was that her? Oh, that was her, wasn't it? Yeah. Because she wasn't she like wasn't she like a rich girl too? And he was, you know, from the wrong side of the tracks because he had that job as a waiter, and then he spills the spaghetti, uh-huh. And then what's his name, the blonde kid, is there to laugh at him. Yeah,
they both played soccer.
Yeah, we're dorks. Can we all agree that Karate Kid Part 2 was the best of the trilogy, by the way? I'm not counting the Hilary Swank, the next Karate Kid, as part of the canon.
No, I liked one.
We got this, Rick. Funny diseases. Never forget the ultimately funny elephantiasis. I mean, come on. Guys with 50-pound scrotums that need to be carted around in wheelbarrows. Great stuff. That's from Rick. Signs himself the stressed-out courier. All right, time for another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever.
that every day when it plays.
It makes me want to dig out my ears with a spoon.
I think we should have a little contest or something, or have people write in and say what song they should sing.
That's just bad.
I'm going to take the initiative.
Okay.
And I'm going to find a new song.
You do that. All right. Today's email comes to us from Pat. Jolie, my wife's new haircut is awful. I mean, it looks bad. She loves it, however, and wants to keep it from now on. How do I tell her it's ugly without getting kicked out of the house? Pat.
Oh, Pat. No matter how you tell her, she's going to get upset.
Yeah, you're screwed, Pat. That's the answer. We can have a united front on this one. You're toast.
Let's dissect it here. Have you ever told her that her hair looked good or didn't look good or something? Because sometimes if you've never told her that, then I wouldn't tell her.
Well, you know what it is? Here's the thing about in my opinion, about female fashion or hair, you know, the hair color, hair or whatever. It's like shoring up a dam. You can't wait until the dam breaks or changes and then try to repair it. You've got to start shoring it up when it's exactly how you want it. So that you can't wait until the girl has on an ugly outfit and to be like, "God, that outfit makes you look like a horse." You can't do that. No, you can't do that. What you got to do is when the girl has an outfit on you like, you have to point that out. You can't do constructive criticism with a girl. Because women don't understand the concept of constructive criticism. Because women, they lose the constructive part. They just take it as criticism. What do you mean? They'll shake. What are you shaking your head at me for? You know I'm right.
Yeah.
What? Come on, tell me.
No, keep going.
I'm saying that women don't take constructive criticism because all they hear is the criticism and not the constructive part of it. So you can't ever, there's no gentle way to say, dress isn't flattering at all.
I always like, if you say, well, I told my sister this once about her nail polish or something. I said, I like the other color better, or I like your hair the other way better.
You can get away with it because you're a woman. A guy couldn't get away with it.
Oh, you don't think so?
A guy, what if I said to you, yeah, I really liked your hair before you were doing all the stuff you're doing now.
Well, you know, I could assume that you don't like my hair anymore because it's been months and months since you've commented on it, and you used to comment on my hair all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
And
when
now
we first,
you don't.
See, that's what I'm saying. We first started.
Oh, so you don't like my hair now, do you?
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
When we first started doing this, because you were going through a period where your hair was different every day. Where your hair was always some weird whacked out color. And so when I was coming, I go, oh, hey, your hair's a whacked out color. That looks kind of cool. But now I've just kind of gotten used to it. I'm immune to it now. I don't even notice it. Which is not to say it doesn't look nice. It's just, Jesus Christ, we're not even dating. And see how I'm already being sucked into this? See how I'm already getting sucked into the critic. So there's no good way to tell your wife that she's got bad hair.
No, well, let me tell you this story. My sister got her hair chopped, you know, like shorter than yours.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
works
out well.
Well, that was in. It looks good on some people.
No.
Oh, no, because guys just like long hair. That's all
short
they want.
Short hair on women never looks good.
Short hair never
sometimes
looks as good.
If you're
trying to attract other women.
Depending on how short we're talking about.
So get this. So her husband
I saw you covering your ass over there looking at Sarah. Did you catch that, Matt? Short hair never looks good. Pause. Looks at Sarah. Depending on who you're talking about.
Matt didn't look at Sarah. Matt looked over at the computer to check the time.
All right, I'm just saying.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm really not considering cutting my hair.
That seemed like
it's
a CYA
not short
moment.
Anyways. So she got it all chopped off, and her husband, of course, likes long hair, and he said, you look like Cyndi Lauper, or you look like a lesbian.
Sometimes you gotta just look. You gotta speak the plain truth. Sometimes.
Yeah, if it's your wife or something, I think it's important that you tell her how about the hair. But it's her hair, and she's not gonna change it.
Yeah, but she's not wearing it for her. But it's her hair.
Yes,
but
she's
not. But women don't. But women don't style their hair for themselves. They style it for men, by definition.
I don't believe so.
How can you delude yourself?
What women
like
are
this?
You talking?
Why do women look good? They don't look good for other women unless they're gay. Women do that for other men.
If women did their hair for men, every woman would have their hair past their butt.
Well, they either do it to annoy men or to attract them. One of the two.
Oh, I like that point.
All right, we got more on the way. That's another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the Front Desk. More on the way. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK.
Talk 1080 KOTK.